Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. The Reverend Brian Heller will read from the Confessions. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary. You've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. A reading from the Lutheran Confessions on Baptism. We have now finished the three chief parts of common Christian doctrine. Besides these, we have yet to speak of our two sacraments instituted by Christ. Every Christian also ought to have at least an ordinary, brief instruction about the sacraments, because without them, he cannot be a Christian. Unfortunately, up to now, no instruction about them has been given. But in the first place, we take up baptism, by which we are first received into the Christian church. However, in order that baptism may be easily understood, we will present it in an orderly manner. We will present only what is necessary for us to know. We will leave to learn the topic of how baptism is to be maintained and defended against heretics and sects. And in the first place, you must above all things know well the words on which baptism is founded. Everything refers to these words that must be said on the subject. The Lord Christ says in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Likewise in St. Mark 16, 16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." In the first place, you must note in these words that here stands God's commandment and institution. Let's not doubt that baptism is divine. It is not made up or invented by people. For surely, as I can say, no one has spun the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer out of its head. They are revealed and given by God himself. So also, I can boast that baptism is no human plaything, was instituted by God himself. Furthermore, baptism is most solemnly and strictly commanded, so that we must be baptized or we cannot be saved. I note this lest anyone regard baptism as a silly matter, like putting on a new red coat. For it is of the greatest importance that we value baptism as excellent, glorious, and exalted. We contend and fight for baptism chiefly because the world is now full of heretics arguing that baptism is an outward thing and that outward things are of no benefit. But let baptism be a thoroughly outward thing. Here stands God's word and command which institute, establish, and confirm baptism. What God institutes and commands cannot be an empty thing. It must be a most precious thing, even though it looked like it had less value than a straw. Up to now, people could consider something great when the Pope, with his letters and bulls, gave away indulgences and confirmed altars and churches solely because of the letters and seals. So we ought to value baptism much more highly and more precious because God has commanded it. Besides, it is done in his name. For these are the words, go baptize. However, do not baptize in your name, but in God's name. To be baptized in God's name is to be baptized not by men, but by God himself. Therefore, although it is performed by human hands, it is truly God's own work. From this fact, everyone must readily conclude that baptism is a far higher work than any work performed by a man or a saint. For what work can we do that is greater than God's work? But here the devil is busy to fool us with false appearances and lead us away from God's work to our own works. For there is a much more splendid show when a Carthusian does many great and difficult works. We all think much more of the things that we do and we merit ourselves. But the scriptures teach this. Even though we collected one pile, the works of all the monks, however splendidly they may shine, they would not be as noble and good as if God should pick up a single straw. Why? Because the person is nobler and better. Here then we must not judge the person according to his works, but the works according to the person, from whom they must get their nobility. But our insane reason will not consider this. Because baptism does not shine like the works that we do, it is valued as nothing. From this, now learn a proper understanding of the subject and how to answer the question of what baptism is. It is not merely ordinary water, but water comprehended in God's word and command and sanctified by them. So it is nothing other than a divine water. Not that the water itself is nobler than any other water, but that God's word and his command are added to it. It is pure wickedness and blasphemy of the devil when our new spirits mock baptism, leaving God's word and institution out of it. They look at baptism in no other way than as water that is taken from the well. Then they blather and say, how does a handful of water help the soul? Yes, my friend, who does not know that water is water. But how dare you interfere with God's order? How dare you tear away the most precious treasure with which God has connected and closed baptism, and that he will not allow to be separated? For the kernel in the water is God's word, command, and God's name. His name is a treasure greater and nobler than heaven and earth. Understand the difference, then. Baptism is quite a different thing from all other water. This is not because of its natural quality, because something more noble is added here. God himself stakes his honor, his power, and his might on it. Therefore, baptism is not only natural water, but a divine, heavenly, holy, and blessed water, and whatever other terms we can find to praise it. This is all because of the word, which is a heavenly, holy word, which no one can praise enough. For it has and is able to do all that God is and can do. In this way, it also gets its essence as a sacrament. As St. Augustine also taught, when the word is joined to the element or natural substance, it becomes a sacrament. That is, a holy and divine matter and sign. We always teach that the sacraments, in all outward things that God ordains and institutes, should not be considered according to the coarse outward mask, the way we look at a nutshell. But we respect them because God's word is included in them. For we also speak of the parental estate and of civil government in this way. If we intend only to recognize that they have noses, eyes, skin, hair, flesh, and bones, they look like Turks and heathen. Some might start up and say, why should I value them more than any other? because this commandment is added, honor your father and your mother, I see a different person, adorned and clothed with God's majesty and glory. The commandment I say is a gold chain about his neck. Yes, that is a crown upon his head, which shows me how and why one must honor this flesh and blood. So, even much more, you must honor baptism and consider it glorious because of the word. For God himself has honored it both by words and deeds. Furthermore, he confirmed it with miracles from heaven. Do you think it was a joke that when Christ was baptized, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended visibly? Everything was divine glory and majesty? I encourage again that these two, the water and the word, by no means be separated from each other and parted. For if the word is separated from it, the water is the same as the water that the servant cooks with. It may indeed be called a bathkeeper's baptism, but when the word is added, as God has ordained, it is a sacrament. It is Christ's baptism. Let this be the first part about the holy sacraments and dignity.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.